I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags, RJ Clifford, Juan Soto. Let's have some fun today. And I will take fun in knowing that the pressure is off because the season's over. Raiders went into Arrowhead Stadium with the entire season on the line, losing four of the last five. Kansas City was on a five-game win streak, needed to make a move to stay playoff relevant. The stakes could not be higher for this season. Injury to Darren Waller, our best player. Injury to Denzel Perryman, our best tackler. And we thought, okay, we can overcome this. We can do it. Raiders going to Kansas City and shit the bed, losing 48-9. This game was over in the second quarter. We were just talking, Soto, at the end of this, at the beginning of the second quarter, it was 21-0 Chiefs, and I texted you. I'm like, hey, final score prediction. You said 49-10. You missed it, but you're off by one on each score.
That was pretty close.
That was pretty amazing. That wasn't even like – I thought that was conservative, right? Like, I thought that was like, okay, like, that's how a football game goes. Patrick Mahomes is going to take off the gas eventually, and, you know, Raiders will get a garbage.
No, this is the Raiders. They don't give a shit. Yeah. They'll keep scoring. They didn't put their backups in until like a couple minutes left in the fourth. Like, they wanted to keep scoring. Whatever, man. Let them dance. Let them jump around. They won. They kicked the shit out of us twice in 1 year.
Yep.
You know, what can you say?
So this
I do want to say this.
Okay.
I apologize to all Raider Nation. It's totally my fault because I am so negative when I talk about our team and their chances. I'm so negative that I forced us to play this bad. It's not about the coaching or the scheming or the execution or the talent on the team. None of that. It has nothing to do with that. It's all my fault. Because on this podcast, I'm negative, and that caused the Raiders to lose.
It's big of you to finally admit and apologize, Soto. It's a big of you. So this whole thing started. The Raiders, led by Yannick Ngakoue, at the end of warmups, ran to the center on the 50-yard line to the Chiefs logo and just, like, gathered on it, right? They didn't, like, step on it or, like, put a flag on it or, like, take their pants off and take a shit on it. But they were just, like, you know, a subtle, like... You know, it's like taking a knee during the Pledge of Allegiance, right? Like, you're not really doing anything. It's just the symbolism of it. It's like, yeah, we're going to stand on this logo and, like, kind of send a message, trying to fire ourselves up. Backfired just a little bit. Just a little bit. When we won last year in Arrowhead, remember, John Gruden had the bus driver, like, make a lap around Arrowhead. This is, like, their other way to try to, like, stick it to a rival. And we's the one that got stuck, Soto.
I mean... They're just so unaware of themselves, just so unaware. And Sneaky Beast, I agree with you. And that's what I've been saying from the very beginning. Everybody's got to go. Nobody should stay. And the thing is, look, I'm not the smartest man in the world.
Some guys are going to stay.
Well, no, I'm talking about, like, the leadership, the head guys, GM, the coaching staff. And whoever you could get anything for trade-wise. Mm-hmm. And look, if Carr had a huge contract and we couldn't flip him, then I wouldn't even say him. But he has a good contract for 1 year at a very good price. We can get a lot for that. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying Carr. Is today's loss on Carr? No. He's part of it, but by no
means.
He's the
only guy that
on
played semi-competently today. Like, even Renfro had a fumble, like... Crosby had a penalty. Like, it was like, again, Nick, you want to be like, you know, most games you're like, oh, this one play could have done this, or this guy played poorly. This was a full team effort. I mean, this is the type of game where you blame the coach, right? When everything goes wrong, every player basically plays poorly. This is on the coach. Bisaccia just did not have this team ready to go. Coaching staff did not have this team ready to go. This organization, I don't know what they thought they were going to do going into Arrowhead. Did they give up like last week and didn't tell anybody? I mean, this team didn't want to play today.
Foster Moreau, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You turn the ball over twice.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, no, you turn the ball over and then
get a big drop.
A fumble yeah. in your hands that mm-hmm. you couldn't recover. And it just, you just looked like you didn't want to have it.
Yeah.
He had a couple of drops, one in the end zone. I mean, look, it is what it is. It was a long shot for us to make the playoffs at 6-6 because mm-hmm. of the road we had to sow ahead of us. Okay. I understand that. But you don't have to come out and play this. You don't have to basically give up.
It's one thing to lose, but like the Raiders are the laughing stock of the NFL today and probably for a while. Between their backs up against the wall, being 6-6. Now they fall to 6-7. Chiefs now improved to 9-4. Backs up against the wall, had to come out big. The score, losing to a rival, and of course, setting it all up with the stomping on the logo ahead of time, which honestly, right. like at the time, I wasn't against it because all it does is raise the stakes, right? Because if you win, it's that much bigger. Anything to inject something, right? Like if they didn't do that beforehand, we'd be talking like they should have done something different. They should have injected something into this, like try something off the wall, you know, like more Mariota or more play fakes or more fake punts or like, you know, something crazy, right? Like do something drastically different with a high risk. And this was kind of that, like you raise the stakes, like, hey, giving the Chiefs fans the double bird, essentially, like an organizational double bird. Like that was premeditated, thought out. It wasn't just like someone got pissed and decided to just like run on the logo. Like that was like, all right, we're going to do this to get pumped up. And if we win, it's going to make it even better. If we lose, it's going to make it even worse. And it made it obviously far, far worse.
100 times worse.
And now the Raiders are the laughing stock of the NFL this week. And this may bleed into the next coming weeks.
I don't see why it wouldn't. So there's a famous guy, motivational speaker. He's written books. You know him. His name is David Goggins. And he said something that I believed for a
read his
long
book.
Time.
Read
yeah,
his book. Very
great,
good.
Great book.
Great read.
Go out there and get it. It's Can't Hurt Me is the name. But the
it's probably the only book I've read in like a year and a half.
I read it, and then I also have it on Audible so I can listen to it in my car when I'm driving.
Ooh,
but the main – yeah, up, right? That's what I do, baby. So I felt this way for quite some time being in leadership. And he says it a little bit more blunt than I say it, but he says motivation is crap.
Yeah.
Because motivation comes and goes. If you need to do something like that to motivate yourself, whatever that did all went away when Jacobs fumbled.
Yeah.
Motivation comes and goes. You have to be disciplined. You have to be dedicated, right? You have to be determined, the three D's. Mm-hmm. You have to be that.
Triple D's.
And then, right, even bigger titties. Now, you have to be that. If you're that, motivation can add on and amplify what you have. But if you don't have those three, motivation is nothing. Yeah. Motivation doesn't mean anything. And doing that, I thought was a mistake from the very beginning. It just, I don't know what anybody in this organization is thinking. Everyone in this organization is so unaware of themselves and who they are, not only individually, but as a team.
You think
I don't
so?
Yes.
You don't think they realize how bad this is and what's wrong with it?
Then why would they go into the middle of the field? If they knew that they were just outclassed.
I look at it as desperate times, desperate measures, right? Like it's a Hail Mary.
It's not necessary. It's not necessary.
Well, this is the thing. Again, like hindsight, like if they didn't do anything into this game, like we'd be saying like they needed to try something to get a spark. You know what I mean? Like they need to do something to make things different because doing the same thing every time isn't working. What's some kind of weird random thing they can do to either get fired up or figure something out? And this was one of them. Like obviously it didn't work and it made it worse. The action obviously was incorrect, but the motivation to do something like that, I understand and I'm for. It was just the wrong thing that they tried to do.
Yeah, maybe you just coach better or game plan better or
that'd be nice.
I mean, I said it at halftime. You know, if we don't come out and shotgun and throw the ball and run from a shotgun and do that, if we don't do that, then what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And they actually did it a couple of drives. And those are the drives, you know, the late in the first half and then in the third quarter when they scored. But I just can't understand. Let me take that back. I do understand. The organization where it stands right now is in probably one of the worst spots you can be in the NFL. You're not going anywhere, but you're not bad enough to get a top three or four pick, like one of those super game changer type of players. Yeah. So you're picking in the middle of the first round. You don't have a lot of people on your, you don't have a lot of players in your team that are young that other teams want that are under good contracts to get yourself more picks. You don't have that. So you have to do the slow play. And one thing that it's a fair question when you come back at me, when I say, you know, we have to get rid of Carr and get what we can for him because it's just not working here. And you say, well, who are we going to replace him with? We just have to be okay with being even worse than we are now before we get better, because
this is the problem. And we're going to do a full rebuild show coming up this week, maybe tomorrow or Tuesday. We'll do a full show on like what exactly a Raiders rebuild looks like. But yeah, this is the problem, is rebuilding a team, like doing a, like, get rid of everybody, start over. Like, what you do in that situation is you get rid of players that help you win now, but they're expensive and older, right? You get rid of those guys. Like, okay, these guys are, we want these guys for the next like two seasons, but after that, they're like too expensive and not going to help us. Let's get rid of those guys and turn them into young guys so we can win next season, the season
moving
after
forward,
that, right?
Yeah.
We don't have anybody like that.
We have Derek Carr.
He's, again, with one major exception, right? He's the only guy. Yeah. So like an entire, so
he's the guy that has to go, like, unfortunately.
Well, but it's not, what are we going to get for Carr realistically? A first and a third?
Okay,
like,
look.
If we had multiple guys like that, right? If we had three or four awesome players that were really expensive that were older, and we say, all right, let's trade them all, get like seven new draft picks. That's a rebuild, right? That's a tangible rebuild that the Raiders can pull. All of our best players are like on rookie contracts or under 30, right? So like the guys we want to get rid of are guys we want to get rid of anyway, right? Right? Like the expensive contracts are guys we want gone, you know? So it's okay, not like, it's a weird, it's, you know what I'm saying, it's though? It's weird, a weird rebuild. It's
but look at it from this perspective, okay? Because I get what you're saying, and I agree. But you can't take a look at Carr's contract now. I'm not picking on Carr. Today was not Carr's fault, okay? All you Carr huggers, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is what's best for the team moving forward, and this is it, okay? You're not going to get away with paying Carr anything short of $30, $35 million a year. You're just not. It's the way it is in the NFL right now. He has too much time under his belt. His agent wouldn't let him sign for less because it's setting a bad precedent for other players across the league, and he doesn't want to do that. Okay. Well,
who's his agent? Does his agent?
It doesn't matter who his agent. It doesn't matter who his agent is. Other agents are going to kill him.
Who cares? Agents are on their own.
Like, I understand that, but Arthur, you have to understand that hurts his other clients as well.
That's why I was asking. Does he have other quarterbacks?
But it doesn't matter if it's a quarterback or not, because you're taking far less than what your value is to stay in a situation that's not great. They don't want to set that precedent. So you're going to have to pay
Wrong.
This guy.
Incorrect. That's not true. It depends. If he has like six franchise quarterbacks.
Anything you want to say, RJ, to keep Derek Carr and keep pushing forward with him. Anything you want to say. Anything you want to say.
You're saying something that's not true. That like, oh, an agent, okay, like he's not going to set
Carr
a precedent.
$45 million
for other
a year
agents.
For 9 years.
That's let's not, that's that. Also, and now you're putting words in my mouth. Like,
no,
this,
I'm
this,
saying
this
that.
This is my point.
I'm saying
this
that.
Is my point.
Again, I'm saying that. Let's do
it. I'm with you. I don't want to pay Carr $45 million.
Okay,
of course
so this
not.
Is,
I'm with
okay.
you on that one. But this is the thing, is with Derek Carr, he's not like he's the only semi-stable thing on this franchise right now, right?
And but our franchise is terrible.
Not because of him. Like, this is my big problem with people like you. This is my big problem where every single problem with the Raiders, you blame on Carr.
I'm not blaming Carr. What did I just say? I said it's not his fault.
You
I said that.
A year and a half blaming Carr.
I said so one day you're not blaming Carr. What I'm saying is, okay, today is not his fault. What I'm saying is, if you want to rebuild a franchise, you have to get rid of your more valuable thing. Because look, even though we're not paying him a lot now, we're going to have to pay him a lot. We have to get younger at the quarterback position because we don't have enough around Carr, and we're not going to be able to get enough around Carr fast enough to be able to justify paying him that much. We can't.
How many more years? How many more years of prime does Carr have? Like probably four or five?
Probably three or four, maybe.
I think four is fair, right?
I think four is about fair.
I mean, he's been pretty healthy. You know, like obviously Tom Brady's like breaking the mold, right? No one's going to get to, rarely people get to 40, but like I think 4 or 5 years, right, is fair to think, right? He can be prime for another four years, right?
Yeah. So the things that are rough with Carr are going to get worse with age. The fumbling issues, the he's not going to have his arm is not going to be as strong as it is now for the rest of his career. So he's going to have to be a smarter quarterback post snap, and
which happens, right? Like, I mean, you look at the other quarterbacks in the league, right? The decline these days has started around like 35, right? Like
about 35.
Roethlisberger was kind of declining.
Yeah. I would say 4 to 5 years.
And quarterbacks also tend in this league start getting smarter at 32. Like, as you're right, like this physical skills will naturally start to decline a little bit, but other quarterbacks also continue to get smarter too, and it kind of balances out, right? Like
to a point, and then it's like, okay, well,
and then wherever that tipping point is, right? Sometimes it's 32, sometimes it's 42, right? There's a tipping point at some point. My big thing is when you put over the top blame on Carr, you're letting other people off the hook, okay? And you're gonna say, no, I'm harding everybody. Like, well, when you spend 85% of your time, this is just you, Soto. But when you spend 85% of your time blaming Carr, the rest of the team and coaches and organization are let off the hook. There are so many problems with this organization that, like, if Carr's a B-, we have D's and F's all over our coaching staff, all over our front office, all over our roster, all over the defense, all over the offense, okay? Getting rid of our B- when we have all these other problems, it's just bad business. It's just bad asset management. Now, I'm all for, again, every single position on this team is up for grabs and has to be defended. Carr does not own QB1 forever, or even the second, right? He has to earn that thing every single week, every single day, every single rep. But putting so much on Carr when there's so many other things wrong is just a bad asset management. It's like this O-line needs to get better. Like, when Hunter Renfro is your passing offense, I love Hunter Renfro, like awesome slot guy. But when he's the only competent receiver today, you don't have a number one receiver. If Hunter Renfro is your number one receiver, he should be the number three receiver in this offense. And he was the entire offense. Jacobs looked like trash. Fumble out of the gate. Pass protection, trash. Patrick Mahomes, 20 of 24, 258 yards, 2 touchdowns. This game was a blowout and done in the second quarter, and he still put up those numbers. There's problems across the board. And Carr is, can we improve quarterback position? Yeah. If Aaron Rodgers wants to come to the Raiders, sign me up. But they're just, we only have so many assets to be able to commit to improve this team. And there's so many holes in this. Get rid of Carr. Like, we're looking, and I get the emotions of it, right? This sucks. Let's fix it. And what do you do when something sucks? You get rid of the quarterback or you get rid of the coach, right? We'll get to the coach in a second. We know he's gone, right? Mm-hmm. But you get emotional and you want a quick fix. This team is not a quick fix.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. I understand and I agree with you. It's not a quick fix. When you keep a player like Derek Carr, you're looking for the quick fix. Because you're not going to keep Derek Carr if you want to do a rebuild. You're going to keep Derek Carr if you want to get a couple of pieces here and there. That's the quick fix. The reason why I'm saying we should trade Carr for whatever we could get for him coming up season is, number one, he has 1 year left on his contract. Letting that contract go and possibly getting him for nothing or having to overpay because there's nothing else available, we can't get anybody else, that is suicide for the next few years because we need so much. Because we need so much, we need those assets, those draft assets, to be able to get cheaper, good players into the system. And the only player that we have that's going to be able to do that for us is Derek Carr. I'm not blaming today on Derek Carr. I've talked to you about what I feel about the Carr and our other losses this year and how he's played in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying that now. I'm talking about moving forward. This year is pretty much done already unless something miraculous happens. But what I'm saying is moving forward, it's not bad asset management when you're getting more assets back. And the thing is,
what are we realistically going to get for Carr? Like, not going to get a lot.
Okay, we're going to get more than what Carr is going to be able to do for this team moving forward because we need so much.
That's super debatable, one. Two, okay, do we want to enter quarterback purgatory? Okay, I would love to be wrong. And if we get Carr and we get a franchise quarterback in the draft or free agency, like, that would be awesome. Like, okay, I would be so happy to say I was wrong. We got rid of Carr and we immediately got a franchise quarterback. I got a franchise quarterback in, you know, 1-2 seasons, right? Any more than that, and it was clearly a really bad decision, right? The chances of this franchise, this organization that's in upheaval, fired half the front office, we're going to have a new coach, maybe a new GM, new players all over the place. They're going to have the ability to find, sign, draft, and groom a franchise quarterback better than Derek Carr is low. It's really low. And I think deep down, you know that, Soto, that this,
I don't
think we're just so bad at, analyzing talent.
We went from Al Davis to Reggie McKenzie, actually Al Davis to Hugh Jackson to Reggie McKenzie. Once it got to Reggie McKenzie, it got better. From Reggie McKenzie to John Gruden. So there's three really bad evaluators there. The last time that the Raiders used any type of capital to speak of on a quarterback, we got Derek Carr. You're thinking of the years after Gannon, before Carr, and nobody from that organization is here now.
I'm talking about the 20 years after Rich Gannon. That's what I'm saying.
I understand, but
we've had this conversation multiple times, right? Like, our problems are much deeper than like one head coach, right? Like, we can both agree.
But you're putting all those years, those whatever years after Gannon, on the team now. When's the last time we spent any type of capital on a starting quarterback, draft capital? Who did we get?
Let me answer your question with a question, if I may. What's made you think that the last 20 years is going to be different? Like, what has this organization done to
those people are not here, but
they just replace them. But organizations have cultures, right? Organizations have, like, CEOs leave, presidents of companies leave, but companies have cultures that are embedded in them. And this is a culture that's been terrible at assessing talent. And I just don't trust them to find someone better than Carr because they've proven that they can't.
Look, if you have a B-minus quarterback, you're not going to consistently make the playoffs because you have, instead of getting one player right, you have to get 52 right. You have to get so many more players go right for you and coaches go right for you. A quarterback covers a lot of mistakes. If your quarterback can't cover a lot of mistakes, you need to be right everywhere else. So your argument falls on top of itself.
No, it doesn't. Because realistically, because you can.
You have no faith that we can replace Carr because of our history. But you're expecting them to replace everything around him.
You can
make it better.
Oh, it's way easier to replace everyone else, like every single different position than the quarterback. Like, the Raiders have found running backs. They've found
receivers. When's the last time? You're not answering my question. When's the last time we spent any type of capital to speak of on a quarterback? It was Derek Carr.
We made the most expensive backup quarterback in football history.
So now you're just arguing to be right. You're not arguing. You're not answering the question. Yeah, you just want to be right. You don't want to do what's right. So we'll just go with that. Mariota.
I'm not being a baby, dude.
Because the thing is you're not realizing what the truth is. The last time we drafted a franchise quarterback, we got a franchise quarterback.
I'm all for drafting a quarterback.
But the thing is, you want it now, JR. If Carr goes, who do we get? We get someone. We get someone until we find the right guy. Because guess what?
Okay.
Whether we're 2-15 or 6-11, we're still not making the playoffs.
That's what I'm not willing to do. You're willing to like pander around in quarterback purgatory for several seasons.
Who said it's going to be several seasons?
The Raiders' history of picking up quarterback history. Right. History books say it will
all
be.
Right. There we go.
I wrote all these notes of like individual plays early in the game. It was like, well, none of that matters. I was like, oh yeah, we got a practice squad guy returning kicks. That's smart. And you like let the second kick off just go on like the 7 yard line. Jacobs fumbled the first carry of the game.
He knocked the second kickoff out of bounds. We're like, dude, what are you doing? Just let it go out of bounds.
Like at one point the Raiders had turned over the ball three times. And it was like in the beginning of the third quarter. That was as many incompletions as Patrick Mahomes had. We had more turnovers than Patrick Mahomes had incompletions in the third.
I drunkenly did a 12 Days of Christmas with our season.
Do you want to sing it? I didn't pull up any audio. Do you want to pull it up and sing it?
I'll just go down the list. 12 Mahomes TDs. This one's in bad taste, and I was very drunk. But
you gotta sing it. You gotta put some harmony behind it, Soto. Come on.
I can't do it. I can't say number 11. Number 11 is too rough.
Am I gonna have to say it?
No, man. I don't think I should say it. I don't think I should say it. It's too bad.
Then don't.
No, I really don't think I should say it.
So the rest of the season is one big job interview for the entire roster, right? Basically.
Well, not the entire roster.
So who for sure, what's our list of guys that are absolutely staying next season? It's actually pretty big. Like we're saying, like, get rid of everything. Like when you actually go through the roster.
Okay. So
there's a lot of like rookies, right? There's some contracts that you just can't get rid of next season.
Like Littleton, you know? You can't get rid of.
He's or Littleton, like $15 million cap hit. You can't get rid of
against the cap. Yeah.
But when you go through the roster, it's like, okay, well, Derek Carr, will set that one aside for now. We've had that debate. Josh Jacobs, still can't get rid of him. Still on a rookie deal. Renfro, rookie deal. Edwards, rookie deal. Zay Jones, he can be gone, no problem. Darren Waller, too good. Alec Ingold, cheap and good, right? Colt Miller, just signed a deal, gotta stay. Andre James, just signed a deal, gotta stay. Alex Leatherwood, just signed a deal, gotta stay. Brennan Parker, gone. John Simpson.
How much is he making?
That's a great question. But you see my point, though, that in the entire offense, we're keeping almost everybody with, again, we'll leave the Derek Carr question for a second, but, or, you know, we'll do that one. But other than like one, arguably the worst tackle in football, Brandon Parker, and Zay Jones, who's only starting because everyone's hurt or going to jail, right? Like, that's what I mean is this, we need a rebuild. Like, yeah, I'm down to like, this team is so bad, but it's just not built for a rebuild. It's just that's the way the contracts are. Rebuilds happen to teams who have a lot of old, the Saints, right? That's the team that needs a rebuild. Old, expensive guys.
So you would rather just spin your wheels and be maybe a 400, 450
who do we get rid of
every year?
You tell me, where am I wrong? Which player did I say?
That I already talked about him.
The second one. Because it's not getting rid of just a quarterback isn't a rebuild. It's just replacing a quarterback. You're saying we need a
shift.
Full rebuild.
He's the most important player in sports. In team sports, he's the most important player is your quarterback.
100%. Do you want a rebuild or just a new quarterback?
No, you can do a rebuild too. You can do a rebuild too. Even though I like Yannick Ngakoue, he's got a decent contract. He's only got 1 year left. He's somebody that you can get something for too.
Okay, so you want to trade?
I'm not saying I want to. I'm saying that's an option, and I'm telling you why it's an option. I'm not saying we should or shouldn't. I'm saying the reasons why if we did. Malcolm Kuntz shows like he's developing. He made another couple plays today. You have, you know, some cheap guys, Nassib. You have a couple other guys out there that can play. Draft some guys, get some younger guys in there. But he's an asset that you can get something back for.
Okay, who else?
Those are the two main ones.
So that's what I'm saying. Is like, it's just not, that's not a rebuild. It's like two guys.
When you're shifting,
Now, organizational rebuild. Yes. Right. New head coach, offensive coordinator. Things got to go. I want to keep Gus Bradley, but I can hear arguments that
he could 48 points, go. Bro.
GM, right? GM. Mayock is not a for sure. Definitely want to get rid of him, but we're leaning that way. But this is the biggest thing. Unless Mark Davis sells the team, the culture of this team isn't going to change until Mark Davis. Like, yeah, I think you brought it up on yesterday's pregame show. Like, maybe like a team president, Mark Davis goes completely hands off. If Mark Davis would be willing to do that, I don't. That's the thing. Is it's it all
we've
comes
had
up
team presidents. We've had team presidents all through. No, they were team presidents in pretty much a name only, but we've had team presidents. We need a team president right now that's going to be able to be a voice of reason to Mark Davis and to be able to make the tough decisions going cascading down from the president.
It'd be awesome if Mark Davis is willing to do it, right? Like, it all again, it still comes down to Mark Davis saying, I am relinquishing power. Otherwise, it's just like it's like Mayock being GM.
But I mean, he gave Gruden all that power. He relinquished it to Gruden. Mm-hmm. He gave him all that power. I mean, what really was done that was Mark Davis? I think everything that was done up until this point, until this year, was Gruden. So he didn't really have a lot of say in what was going on day to day.
Well, it would be that buffer because Mark Davis hired John Gruden, right? Which is one of the biggest decisions an NFL owner can make, right? Who do you hire as your head coach? If he got a team president and then relinquished that power to, like, you hire new GM, you hire coach, you know, other decisions like that. But I mean, and also Gruden is a big outlier too, right? Like, Mark Davis worshipped Gruden. It's like, please, here's $10 million a year and every decision you want, you can bang my daughter. Like, that was Mark Davis. Like, that was a big exception for John Gruden. So, like, and again, like, I'm with you. Like, this is a franchise that needs a massive reset. It's just not a resettable roster to me. Like, you look at the defense. Casey Hayward, 1 year contract, right? Like, he's not tradable because his season will be over. Trayvon Moore, rookie deal. Jonathan Abram, rookie deal. Nate Hobbs, rookie deal. Corey Littleton, too expensive. You suggested getting rid of, you're trading Yannick Ngakoue. Jefferson, 1 year deal. Hankins, 1 year deal. Like, it's just not.
Look, just no look, your assets. Your team is built to rebuild because you have so many 1 year contracts, so many short term deals.
Well, we'll have a ton of draft salary. We're gonna have a ton of cap space.
Yes.
Which isn't the way you want to rebuild, but.
But I mean, you can do it that way. But the thing is, you have so much cap. I just feel that we have a different. We just see things from a different side. That's all. You feel like
I think I pushed you into a corner a little bit, and it wasn't fair. I'll let you.
No, it's not about pushing me in the corner, dude. I keep saying the same thing over and over again, and you just don't want to see it.
I'm literally asking you what players to trade for. And
I told you. I said
two.
Those are the only two players that we have that will garner us anything, unless you want to trade Waller too. And I don't think we should trade Waller.
That's literally my point. That's literally my point.
But it's like more capital, RJ. It's more capital coming back. I think that we see Derek Carr's ceiling very differently. I see it. This is the best he's going to be, as good as he is.
I've moved on from the. I've relinquished the Carr argument for this argument. You're saying Carr. Okay, great. For this argument, like a true rebuild, trade Carr. Okay, and Yannick. How many picks are we going to get for that? Two firsts and a couple second and thirds? Like, that's not a rebuild.
It is a rebuild.
It's an improvement, if you think so.
It's a rebuild moving forward because you're resetting the team. You're getting rid of high-priced players who, even if they are performing, they aren't performing at the level that you need that specific position to perform.
That two players isn't a rebuild, is my point.
But the thing is, it's two players that you have under contract, but you have how many on 1 year deals? This roster is going to be drastically different next year, whether you bring Carr and Ngakoue back or not. And again, I'm not saying to get rid of Yannick Ngakoue. I'm saying it's an option. If you're asking me a question, is who can we trade to get anything back for?
How about this? You do the homework on the draft.
Why, dude? Why? Because you're just going to say, no, Carr is the best. Carr, we just everyone around Carr.
No. I've relinquished the Carr argument for this rebuild. I'm saying for the purposes of this exercise, we're trading Carr. And still you're coming back to that, but you're mad because you can't think of any other players to get rid of because you don't have any. You still have two.
Yes, and I understand. And we have how many players on one-year deals that are going to be replaced by other players? That's a rebuild. You're rebuilding because you have so many new players. Just because we're only trading away potentially two players to get more assets back, that doesn't mean it's not a rebuild. When you pivot from an eight-year starting quarterback on your team and you get rid of him, that's a rebuild. That's a rebuild.
That's like installing a new bathtub as opposed to like rebuilding your house. Oh, but okay, boy. We're dealing with semantics. We'll do our homework on this because we don't know. We don't know like the exact cap situation on every player off the top of our heads, right? So we'll do a full rebuild show. You free tomorrow? We'll do it on Monday, maybe? Like a Monday or a Tuesday? Monday or Tuesday before our regular Wednesday show. We'll do a full rebuild talk. But and that involves coaches too. Let's do a coach player rebuild show because it's complicated, right? Like I think you can acknowledge that this isn't a standard issue rebuild roster with a lot of expensive, good older players, right? It's a weird, different rebuild roster than like the Saints or like, you know, teams with a lot, like the Rams in a rebuild. They have a ton of, like, they can have 7 first round draft picks next season. If they trade away expensive, you know what I mean? We can't. Like, we don't have that type of roster. What we have is a ton of cap space. Right now, we have the 9th most cap space predicted for next season. And that's, like you said, half our defense is one year contracts. Anyway, they're going to be gone, right? Or we pick and choose who we keep, whatever, right? All right, so we'll do that. End of the day, Raiders get their dicks kicked in, 48-9. And remember on the last show when I was talking about how, you know, this could be the game that like literally decides the employment of multiple executives, coaches, players, and people in the comments were like laughing at me. It's one game, blah, blah, blah. Think about how you're feeling now. And my whole timeline is get rid of everybody, trade everything. If we would have done this to the Chiefs, we'd be talking about we're back. We can go to the playoffs. We're ready to go. And that's how owners think, unfortunately, is they like, Mark Davis he gets really, really embarrassed by games like these. And he thinks just in these games like this. So he's going to go scorched earth, I think. I think it's going to be scorched earth because of games like this. And people laughed at me when I said one game can drastically affect how owners decide an entire season or entire future seasons. This is it. This is one of those games that implode organizations and drastically affect the employment of tons of people.
I think it's what we need to. What we need too, man. We need a drastic change, and maybe this makes. I mean, goddamn. Hopefully, it makes somebody wake up in that organization to say, "Look, the Raider way that we're doing things doesn't work. We have to look at different franchises and how do they do, and even different organizations, different corporations. How do they do things? What type of structure do they have? Mm-hmm. What type of leadership do they have? What kind of culture do they have?" And try to.
I think that's the biggest one. I think that's the last. I think the last thing you said is the biggest one. The culture of the Raiders is mom and pop. Always hire from within. Get John. Pay him a king's ransom to get him off of the headset of a broadcast booth and have him coach. Like, that's just very, very Raiders. And I think that culture needs to change. And I think we'll talk rebuild and we'll talk the new head coach. Who should be our receivers? What do we do with the defense? Like, we'll talk those all day long, and those matter. But until the culture of that building in Las Vegas either improves or drastically changes or whatever, we're going to keep banging our head against the wall. And I'm not going to have faith that they can find us a new quarterback, right? You're going to be pissed because they keep getting shitty quarterbacks and we keep resetting all the time and it's not getting us anywhere. And that's what games like this make us sit back and reflect, right? Look in the mirror type games for every single executive, coach, player, secretary, janitor, mascot in that building.
For those who've listened for a while, you guys know that I help manage and run a gym, like a fight gym, right? And we got best martial arts gym in Orange County one year. We were voted best martial arts in Orange County. I think 2018 or 2019, something like that. We had no idea we were up for it. Mm-hmm. We weren't like social media campaign and pushing people to vote for us. Our members voted for us just because, and it's because of the culture that we have there. And we have a lot of females that train at our gym, which is not typical. You don't usually get a big group of females that train at your gym. Well, they train there because they feel comfortable. We had a
and
guy
with you that, as a GM, it really shows the good culture of that gym to overcome creepy Soto. Like that's how you know it's a good, right? That's like winning. That's like having a winning franchise with Hugh Jackson as your coach, right?
That's a quality culture. I am so different at the gym. It's ridiculous. But what I'm saying is we've asked guys who fight for us, who bring people in by promoting our gym with their fighting and everything. We've asked them to leave more than one. I think I've known of like three or four maybe that we've asked, hey, maybe you should train somewhere else because they're not good for our culture, whether it's making females feel uncomfortable, whether it's just how they act, whether their attitude, the level of respect, stuff like that. We've asked them to leave. And that's what you have to do when there's no one person in any organization at the gym where I work or in the Raiders. There's no one person that's more important than your culture. And the problem is we're putting people, individuals, higher than our culture, higher than the culture that we want it to be. And in, you know, most recently, John Gruden. No single person is bigger than our culture. We have to have everyone buy into the culture or they're gone. And that's where it starts. And the first person who has to buy in is Mark Davis. If Mark Davis buys into that philosophy, then we can rebuild and then we can straighten this ship and move forward. Without that, we're going to be struggling for quite some time.
I mean, without that, the only option is Mark Davis sells the team. I can never in a million years imagine him doing that.
It's
you're talking about culture. That's his identity, his haircut and the Raiders. That's Mark Davis.
And the conversion, man.
And that sweet all white fanny pack.
Oh, I love that.
White fanny pack on white jeans on white belt.
I will tell you guys an update. I just got a sewing machine. I'm teaching myself to sew.
It's adorable.
Yeah, I'm crafty. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
I'm going to make myself a fanny pack. I'm going to make myself a white Raiders fanny pack. And it's going to be sweet.
And have it say on there, release the emails in big silver and black letters.
I'm going to have it say commitment to meh.
So it's topical.
Yeah.
From 2003 to 2021, commitment to meh. 21 on.
It's going to be a patch though. So I could take it off and put another patch on if we actually commit to excellence.
It's going to be a really big fanny pack to put all the.
Again, I'm sorry for being so negative. I'm sorry if I'm.
You are overly negative. Like even when good things happen,
when have I been wrong?
It's not being wrong. It's being quiet. Like anytime anything good happens, you have nothing to say. Like all the great games Jonathan Abram had this season, he had a lot of really, really, really good games.
I put him on the freaking good and the bad and the ugly. I put him on there all the time.
But you cringe. Like it hurts. Like, oh, I can God. Feel you see, like
now
as you're
making excuses.
As you're typing, your knuckles start swelling. And you're like biting them, trying not to, bleed. All right. Raiders lose. 9-48 to the goddamn Chiefs. Big questions coming up. We'll do videos on all of them. What's a rebuild look like? And we'll do the video where it's like, okay, I'm not committing to trading Carr, but we'll start with we'll do the exercise will be full rebuild. What's it look like, right? Mark Davis, would he ever sell the team? Will he buy in? That's the thing. That's a big discussion that has to be had. And those are the two big things besides and there's a million little roster questions to do and talk about and debate and they matter. But without those first two, every other little part of it's kind of inconsequential. It really is.
Yeah.
Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you so much for those who do. It really means a lot to us. You have no idea how, we started this thing from scratch. We both have, I've got a sports broadcasting background, but nothing in football. And the fact that so many of you come and join us really makes this season tolerable. Like bad Raiders season, last season we fell apart, losing record now. Like imagine me doing this without you guys and knowing that you guys want to listen to us. It means a lot.
Yeah, it means a lot to us, guys. I was super pumped when we got 50 followers. We're like, oh dude, we got 50. Can you believe it? 50 people want to know what the hell we're saying. And now we're getting 150 comments every video. So, guys, we appreciate you, man. I know that you guys don't always agree with us or individually us, But we all want the same thing. We all want the Raiders to come back prominent in the NFL and shove it up Roger Goodell's ass. So, you know, keep listening. We'll keep putting out content for you guys.
All right, we'll be back early this week on YouTube. And again, if you're listening on the podcast, we will have our regular Wednesday show as always. But until then, knock on wood if you're with me.